Hello, my name is Liz Dineshnara, and I am a voiceover artist and an entrepreneur. I own my own business, and I am thrilled to be here today with Barbara Winter. She is the person who was and is the most instrumental person in helping me start me on my way on my inspired entrepreneur journey. She's just amazing. Barbara is the publisher of Winning Ways, a newsletter that has been inspiring self-bossers like me for over 20 years. She hosts seminars and workshops that have inspired entrepreneurs all over the world and is about to launch her latest website, joyfullyjobless.com. Keep your eye out for that because it's just going to rock. You can also check out her website now, which is barbarawinter.com. Keep an eye out for Joyfully Jobless. Check out barbarawinter.com for a bunch of great information. I go there all the time. The theme for today's podcast is Yes, You Can, which is just a wonderful, wonderful subject. So let's get started. Hello, Barbara.
Hi, Liz.
I'm so happy to talk to you today. I just love talking to you.
And we're talking about one of our favorite subjects.
Absolutely. So what I want to start off with is, I think a lot of the people that will be listening probably already have started their own business, but just in case, what's the biggest misconception about self-employment?
That it's terribly difficult and it is an invitation to instant poverty. And, it's really, I think it's the place, even entertaining the notion of self-employment is really an exercise in self-awareness, because all of our personal self-doubts and fears come right up. And all of a sudden, we start thinking about what we consider our inadequacies. And so it really requires a conscious shift in focus about what we can do and what we have to offer the world. But the reason I think that it is sort of a mysterious world, the world of self-employment, is that most of us who arrived on the planet after the Second World War have had very little encouragement to even explore this as an option. So throughout our life, in our schooling and probably from our parents, we have received repeatedly the message that when we grew up, we were going to work for somebody else. And, when I think about the kind of career guidance I got growing up, what I think of, how it all distills really, is you want to get a job that doesn't suck too much. You know, there's like good work and bad work, and you want something that isn't too bad. And in the time I was growing up, I grew up in a farming community. My elders' idea of good work meant it didn't involve physical labor. That was kind of how we separated it out. If you had to do something of a physical nature, that was bad work. And so we wanted to use our brains. And it's really interesting to me how many people, when they decide to go out on their own, really are attracted to doing something that has a physical component to it. And so I think, the perfect business is kind of holistic and engages our minds and our bodies and our spirits, all three.
Right. Yeah. I think the spirit, that was about to say, that's such a huge point. And I think it's really interesting. I think one of the things that became very apparent to me when I decided to do this and decided to go out on my own and in talking with you is we spend so much time, quote unquote, working.
Yeah.
We spent 8 to 10 hours a day. And the idea to me of spending that much time of my life hating what I did, I couldn't imagine that anymore. It got to the point where I said, I couldn't do this anymore. And I needed to do something that I enjoyed. I mean, why? I think one of the other things is when you're self-employed, to pick something that you really love and that you're passionate about. I mean, that's something that I know that we've talked about a lot is and trying to find that passion where it'll be able to carry you forward because it's something to love what you're doing, I think, is such a gift to yourself and to everyone around you.
Exactly. And when we opt to do something we're not crazy about, first of all, we don't get good at it. We are mediocre at best. And then we inflict our misery on other people. So it's, you know, we're not doing anybody a favor. And so I really think we need to reinvent our whole notion of work. But you are so right. We spend a huge chunk of our lives engaged in work. And if we are just putting in our time, we're not growing personally, we are really cheating ourselves, because our work really is the way we develop our talents. And if we are working in a, you know, like if you were working at the Pancake House instead of doing what you're doing, you might be, you know, very pleasant and cheerful. But after you had served so many pancakes, you would kind of lose your edge and you wouldn't be getting any better. So really, the challenge of inspired business is that it calls us to discover ways to be more confident, to be more creative, to be more loving, to be more generous. Everything about that is positive. And so it's really hard for me to understand people's reluctance to embrace this journey, because the rewards are so huge. And, you know, another, and you said something right back at the beginning, too, that I think is really important. And I don't hear anyone talking about this much, but I read a quote years ago from Eric Clapton, who said, "I have no patience with people who squander their gifts." And I see that happen every single day, that people are squandering the gifts they have by not taking them farther, by not developing who they are and becoming what they could become. So it's very sad to me. And I see the sadness in people who have chosen that life. The other thing I find really astonishing, and then, you know, we might want to move into a different direction in this conversation, but the other thing that is astonishing to me is how cheaply people will sell their health, their happiness for a regular paycheck and think that they are being responsible. And in many ways, that's the most irresponsible thing you can do, is to sell out who you are just for the money.
Sure, sure. So when, if someone is thinking about self-employment and they have decided that they really want to start on this entrepreneurial journey, you know, what is it that they can do? How do they start? What would be your advice to someone that's just starting on this journey?
I had an email a couple of weeks ago from a woman who said she was in a job working for a pharmaceutical company, hated it, and she really wanted to do something on her own, but she didn't know what it was. But she had this job and it paid her bills. And I wrote back to her and I said, you know, you're sending a mixed message here. It's, I don't want my job, but oh, I've got, you know, I've got financial security because of it. And you've got to get really clear about what matters to you. But it was also obvious to me that she hadn't done any homework about even beginning to figure out what it was she wanted to do. So I suggested to her that she block out time, like the next 90 days. I really like 90-day projects because it's a nice length of time to really dig into something and explore and go on a passion quest and try things out and read books and explore and see if she can get some hint. I know an awfully lot of people who started the business that they started because they saw someone else doing something similar and just had that epiphany. Oh, that's what I want to do. I had a student in Minnesota who was starting a speaking business. Any speaker who came through town, I was there. And he said, I never heard a word they said, because I would spend the whole time wishing I was the one up on the stage doing the talking. And so sometimes, you know, we watch other people live the life of our dreams until we get the courage. But the thing that I want to say to people is, when I started my first business 30 some years ago, there was no information available. And today, you know, the bookstore shelves are loaded with books on how to do almost anything you could think about doing. The internet is full of questionable and good information. There are all kinds of now organizations popping up for people who are self-employed. There's just some wonderful resources out there.
And how would somebody, I mean, that's true. I think there are so many resources that are out there. How would you tell somebody to sort of pick and choose maybe a reliable one? I mean, is it something that one of the things that I do a lot is I do a lot of Google searches for a lot of different things, but you have to kind of figure out which ones speak to you and which ones don't, and which ones you can trust. Do you have any advice as to how someone can go about doing some research and finding information that is useful to them?
That's a really good question. I have a new article that's coming up on my new website called Don't Go There, which is about watching out for the work-at-home opportunistas, which is one of my pet peeves, are people who are really scam artists who are out there selling business opportunities and that sort of thing. But you're absolutely right. And here about, you kind of have to trust your own intuition about these things. But one of the things that I also recommend is that when you find a source of information that you really like, stick with them. Don't go looking all over the place. It's like financial advisors. You know, there are a million people writing books and doing TV shows and radio shows giving financial advice. And often it's very contradictory. You know, different people have completely different points of view about that. Same thing is true in the whole world of entrepreneurship. You've got to find those voices and those teachers that really make sense to you, and then weed out the other ones, especially at the beginning. And of course, you know, I think that BarbaraWinter.com is a really good place. I go through huge amounts of information and only recommend things that I really think are worth paying attention to. So that's really part of what I do.
And I love it. Obviously, I'm biased. But one of the things that I found in my own journey is, like you said, go and find books and resources that speak to you. What I have found is that people who are entrepreneurs and who are out there doing what they love are usually the nicest people in the world. And two of my, besides you, but two of my other mentors, and specifically in the voiceover world, I actually bought their books and emailed them after I finished the book, thanking them for writing the book, thanking them for specific pieces of information that I gleaned from their books. And to this day, I'm still in contact with them. I've taken classes with a couple of them, with one of them. I'm taking another class with them in November. And these are people who are at the top of their field. I mean, I will tell you, you could have knocked me over with a feather when I got an email back from these two top voiceover artists in the country because I reached out to them. And I think a lot of what people need to maybe get over a little bit is not letting the fear of oh, these people are going to think I'm, you know, I'm not worthy or something. Just reach out to people and put yourself out there and say, I really liked what you did. What advice do you have? Or just thanking them for their information.
Another thing that is very useful, and I don't see people doing this enough, is to have a little group of people that you're close to who also Yes. are self-employed, and have people in that group that are doing things very different from what you're doing. So even though we need to connect with people like you do in the voiceover community who are, you know, have similar kinds of things going on, we also need people who are doing totally different things, like Alice with her, you know, her interest in dogs. And I have learned so much from her watching how she's put her whole business together. And that entrepreneurial spirit really needs to be, you know, filtering into our lives in lots and lots of different ways. So it can be through reading and it can be through direct contact. But you're absolutely right. We have to reach out in order for it to happen. And sometimes, especially when we're new, we're reluctant to do that. And again, that's the, oh, who am I? Who do I think I am that anyone would pay attention to this? But it's really essential. You know, there's this wonderful quote that I have loved for years from Jess Lehrer, who was a psychologist who wrote some great books. And he said, everyone needs four or five people in their lives whose faces light up when they walk in the room. And I always thought that was my description of my entrepreneur's network. Four or five people whose faces lit up when I walked in the room, and vice versa. And we all know what that means. Those special relationships that we only have a handful of in our lifetime, but when we're together, magic happens. And it's like no time has passed, you know, even if we don't see each other. And so we need to, as we become more entrepreneurial, even if we have that group in our life socially, if we have a group of friends that we have that kind of relationship with, that should be our one of our goals, is to have an entrepreneurs network that we feel that way about. When we go to our email box and we have a message from those people, our faces light up because we know that there's going to be a connection made. And we get really stronger through those connections.
So, I mean, does this mean that every entrepreneur has to be an extrovert?
No, it doesn't. And that's another interesting myth about the entrepreneurial life and about marketing in particular, that only extroverts can do it. I have a friend named Peter Vogt, who is a career counselor, and he is an introvert himself. Although I wouldn't have known it. He told me that, but I wouldn't have known it. And he's been working on a book for job seekers on interviewing, an introvert's guide to interviewing skills, because that's often difficult. But no, you don't have to be an extrovert, but you do have to be willing. And in forming our own little networks, we may very well connect with some people who also are introverts. But in order to be successful, sometimes we have to go outside our boundaries of what's really comfortable for us to discover that we can be more.
And I think one of the things that I found, I mean, I remember when I was in radio, they had asked me to do some selling, you know, to do some sales for the radio advertising. And I remember starting that and going out, and I was awful at it. I just did not do well at that. I wasn't passionate about it. And yet when I went out on my own, I realized that every day I'm actually selling, I'm actually marketing, I'm actually putting myself out there. And it's, I think that's what happens, is that people get so hung up on these, on the labels that we put on things of marketing and selling. And, you know, it's actually, my marketing plan is actually emailing people and talking with people and telling people what I do. And that's my marketing, you know, telling stories. So, you know, how can you, if someone again is starting out and is really stuck on these corporate ways of looking at things, how can they sort of shift their focus to a more entrepreneurial and inspired way of looking at their life?
Well, you just said the magic word, Liz, and that's stories. And I, you know, have been a passionate storyteller all my life. And I've had experiences also like yours where I tried to sell products that I wasn't passionate about. And it's such a different thing when you really care about what you're doing. Talking about it is the most natural thing in the world. But so, you know, if passion is missing, then it's so much harder to succeed. But when you're passionate, it's just natural. It just kind of bubbles up from your heart. But I, last year, really started to get serious about storytelling as a marketing tool. And when I went back and started looking in some back issues of Winning Ways newsletter, I was really astonished at how many articles about storytelling as a marketing tool I had written over the years. It was considerably more than I was conscious of. And so storytelling has become a real focus of mine. And I rolled out a new seminar this year called Compelling Storytelling, which really is to help people learn how to be comfortable telling their own story. And what I've discovered is that most of us don't know what our best stories are. But once we do and develop comfort in telling those stories, magic happens. So it doesn't feel like marketing. It's not like that old paradigm of learning, all the arguments and that sort of thing. It's very authentic and very real. And at the same time, it's very magnetic because we love stories. And I have this great quote in the current issue of Winning Ways from Garrison Keillor, who I think is maybe one of the, you know, master storytellers of our day. And he says, people who aren't real to each other are dangerous to each other. Stories give us the simple empathy that is the basis of the golden rule, which is the basis of civilized society. And so, you know, story, when people hear, you know, the word story, they think of fiction and fantasy. But we're talking about how do you tell true stories in a way that really advances your business. And it's so exciting. It's been so exciting to see the people who have come through that program and how much confidence they develop in just a couple days. It's an astonishing tool.
So you mentioned something just now. You talked about confidence. And how do you deal with people, you know, when you are thinking about starting your own business and you're getting passionate about it and you really want to move forward and you start telling people, this is what I want to do and I'm really thinking that I can do this, and you start getting shot down, you start getting quote unquote the reality check from people. How do you deal with that negativity that you're going to get from people who are in that old paradigm of, in essence, working for the company store?
Well, that's a very good question, because it happens to everybody. And a lot of times when it happens to us, we think we're the only ones that have had to deal with that. And it does often challenge us. And so, what I like to tell people is there are two kinds of people in this world, dream builders and dream bashers. And you're going to encounter more dream bashers than dream builders, because people are often conditioned to think that way. And my advice is, don't defend your dream to a dream basher. Instead, get very, very quiet and let them rant. But while they're ranting, you are silently reciting your mantra, which is consider the source. And when you do that, it neutralizes that negative energy. But you also have to make a commitment to yourself that you will not take advice from uninformed sources. And I am dazzled sometimes at how quickly people will accept advice from people who don't know what they're talking about. So if you want to build a business, you get advice from people who have done it successfully. Mm. You don't listen to people who have never gone down this road.
And how do you connect? How do you connect with other people? I mean, what would your suggestion be on how to find other people that are self-employed in your area or online, or how would you do that?
Well, on the new joyfullyjobless.com, there will also be an article called A Field Guide to Genus Entrepreneurs, which is about how to find entrepreneurs in their natural habitats. And, one of the simplest ways is to start taking some seminars that other self-employed people would be taking as well. You know, it can be something as simple as my Making a Living Without a Job seminar. And, you know, there you're in a room full of 30 or 50 or 100 other people who all are curious about the same thing. And if you take the time to say hello to somebody, you might just strike up a conversation with somebody that will help move you along. Sometimes people even become friends, especially I see that happen with longer events where people really have a chance to know each other. This last storytelling group that we did has had this very lively email conversation that's been going on ever since the end of the event. So, you know, people really connect in places like that. But there are lots of places where they hang out. And in this article, I talk about them. And it's really making a conscious effort to start connecting with some of those people. At the very least, you can go to Starbucks and just sit there and drink coffee and eavesdrop, because Starbucks is full of people who are self-employed.
Yeah, as you say, do talk to strangers.
Exactly. I'm really, you know, hot on that. I'm talking to strangers, and you have no idea what might come when you start doing that and are willing to do that. Or you go into a, you know, go into a small independent business, and if the shopkeeper is there and there are no other customers, ask them about their business. People love to talk about their business. I have a niece who is a business reporter for a newspaper in California. And she, you know, writes about corporate things going on, but she says her favorite people to interview are people who have little businesses of their own. They're the easiest to interview because they're so willing to talk and are so eager to talk about something they love so much. So, you know, you just start looking for them and collecting them. It's a fine hobby, Liz.
Yes, and I remember that was one of the most nerve-wracking exercises that you gave us when we went to the last seminar that I was at yours, and you said, go out the main street and pick a business and go talk to them and come back with a report. And I remember looking at you saying, what?
And it was fun though, wasn't it?
It was great. It was so much fun. And now, actually, I make a point whenever I'm at a new store that opens in town, I walk in and I will always look at them and say, so how's business doing today? It's just, it is now one of the questions that I always ask, how's business? And they'll invariably say, oh, it's going great. You know, we're learning all this new stuff. And that's how I get to know people now. So it's great.
And something else you just said, which I think is a real trait of the inspired entrepreneur, we're learning new stuff. I think that's one of the great unspoken rewards of self-employment. I've been on my summer project was make peace with technology. And I have had incredible resistance to anything that comes with a manual. And I really gave myself, that was my 90-day project. And I've made visible progress. And
yes,
it's so much fun to, you know, now I can download my iPod. I mean, I know that sounds really crazy because children can do that, but I was terrified of it. I just had no idea how to go about it. So the whole learning aspect of it, and I think about this, Liz, I think about if I had stayed doing what I started out doing, which was teaching high school English, I'm trying to imagine if I had spent my entire life just repeating that same year over and over again, 40 some times. I was 20 years old when I started teaching, so I would have taught for over 40 years before I could retire. And how much less I would know as a result of that.
So I take it you're not retiring anytime soon?
I don't believe I have that word in my vocabulary. I don't know what that means. I can't even imagine having spent my life with retirement as the only goal I ever set for myself. And it's, you know, why would you stop doing what you love to do? I have been so fascinated watching T. Boone Pickens out talking about wind power, you know, and he's 82 years old and just charming and eloquent. And we just had a alternative energy conference here in Las Vegas this week, and he was the main speaker the second day. And so, of course, we had clips of it on the news, and I was watching him. He was writing on a gigantic whiteboard, and I thought, oh, he's proudly low-tech, just like me. And but that wasn't what I noticed about him. I noticed his body language and how, you know, he's 82 years old, but he doesn't move like an 82-year-old man. This is not someone who has retired and has now taken on this huge challenge to convince other people that we need to make some changes. And he's very eloquent about it. So, you know, that's also very interesting to me, is that a lot of people now who do retire from a lifetime job are often looking at self-employment as their next career.
Mm.
So we've got, you know, self-employment. This is one of the things, too, that I think anyone who's an entrepreneur needs to keep this somewhere filed away in their mind to bring out on those days when they feel discouraged or things aren't working out the way they want to or as quickly as they want to. Free enterprise is accessible to everyone.
It's never too late.
It's accessible to kids. It's accessible to retirees. It's accessible to people in third world countries. And it's, you know, it's just such a shame that we haven't given more attention to it, because I think we have a huge percentage of the population, had they known, would have chosen this to begin with.
Well, I think that on that point, I think it's a great way to end this call. I think that would be perfect. Barbara, thank you so much. This has just been, I mean, I could sit here all day and listen to you. I think that this has been just such a great source of information and inspiration for other people that are either already on the path to entrepreneurship or are considering it. I mean, your passion is infectious, so I just think it's great.
Why, thank you so much.
You've just been listening to an interview with Barbara Winter, Inspired Entrepreneur. For more information on Barbara's seminars and teleclasses, please visit her website at www.barbarawinter.com. And don't forget to look for her newest website, joyfullyjobless.com, coming soon. Thank you so much for listening.